Happy Sabbath. I'm glad that we can come together in this time to study the Word of God. And we pray that God can lead us and to be those faithful disciples that He wants us to be. When we study our lessons in Sabbath school, I encourage us all to come to Sabbath school because the lessons we can learn, how we can outreach to our to the world that God wants to read. I just want to open this with this little story that, you know, because one of the things where the disciples had, they prayed much, they gave their life to the Lord much, and they did everything, you know, surrendered all. So there's two travelers journeying through the Midwest, you know, and stopped one evening at a cabin. The family let them have a bedroom to sleep for the night. But as they crawled into bed, both men were very fearful. For they were fearful because they had a lot of gold with them, and they feared that the family might kill them during the night for it. As they lay there, they heard murmuring in that other room, and then they heard the scraping of chairs. That almost paralyzed them with fear, so one man crept to the door and peeked through that large keyhole. Soon he returned and spoke a few words to his companion, and they both slept soundly. What made that great change from that fearful to going to sleep and not having a worry? Looking through the keyhole, he had seen a family who had gathered at the table reading the Bible and had pushed back their chairs and were now kneeling in earnest prayer. So the two travellers stopped for the night at a Christian home where the Bible and prayer were very important. Is the Bible and prayer important in your home, my home, each night? Is that make it a priority? There are astounding treasures to be found in the found in God's book. In this study, which we're going to do today, we view several amazing jewels from the Lord's treasure chest, and given to us by God of heaven, they are found in the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel, and this is where it's going to be our study today. And someone asked me during the week, why do we need to study prophecy? Why is there such, as we just read, jewels in the book of Daniel? And I gave the person a few of my thoughts, you know, why the book of and prophecy asked Daniel. So, but I'd just like to open your Bible to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 9. That's Revelation chapter 14, verse 9. I won't say it the third time, Maria. Oh, okay, all right. Sorry, Simon. Revelation. Okay. It's the last book of the Bible.
14, was it?
Yeah, verse 9.
Yeah.
Okay, and let's read. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image, and receives the mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into his cup of his indignation." The question is, what is the wrath of God? We don't have to look far, because in chapter 15, verse 1, and it said there, "And I saw another angel in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled the wrath of God." So we can see that the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is the seven last plagues, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Verse 11, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receiveth the mark of his name." So who is this prophecy against? Who is the prophesying the seven last plagues? It is against those people who worship the beast and who receives his mark and receives the mark in his hand. So prophecy is a life and death issue in this case, isn't it? Because if we do not understand who this beast is or what is about to come, then we may get caught up on the wrong side. You know, we're left behind. Jesus is coming for the redeemed, and the wicked will find their place in the lake of fire. So prophecy is very important. Another reason is that Jesus, in Matthew, he says, you know, understand the book of Daniel. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, he said, blessed are they that read and understand. So prophecy is very important. And especially today, because prophecy, this prophecy we're going to share today, is present truth. It is for now and to Jesus has come. So that when we go forth in our missionary work, we can share the things that are happening in this world today and we can give a prophetic utterance to what we know. Okay? So we're going to start with a review. Because last time I spoke, we talked about Daniel chapter 2. And as you can see, Daniel chapter 2, we have a way mark. So God gave this prophecy to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar had a view of an image. And we can see from there he had viewed this terrible image, whose brightness was excellent and stood there and was terrible in form. So he had this image, and Daniel was able to come and explain this image to him. And so in the explanation, we see what's laid out in history from the time that from the time and place of Nebuchadnezzar or Daniel, right down through the next kingdom is Media-Persia, Greece, Rome. Then we have the Roman Holy Roman Empire. Then we have a time of judgment, and then the second coming. And throughout the book of Daniel, chapter 7, we will see this repeated about four times. Is God trying to tell us when he goes over and over something again and again? He really wants us to know what it is. And the four things that you'll come across in here is that he wants us to know there is a judgment. He wants us to know that there is a little horn power, and he wants us to know to identify it, and he wants to know the second coming. And through this, we'll see how this all unfolds through this history, and probably reason why we see all this refugees. I'd like to just stop and pause before we continue. There is an offer here that a book on Daniel's little horn, which we'll make available. There's plenty of down here, about a dozen, which should cover all of us here, down at the front. And this covers a lot of what I'll say today and a little bit more what I'll say next time, because it combines identifying this little horn power. Today we're going to look at the identifying marks of this. So then next time we can look at who this power is. So be free to take this up and not only read it yourself, but you can keep it as a study guide to someone where you may want to share this with someone else. Okay? I'll just remind you there. Okay, let's start our study today. And let's turn into Daniel chapter 7. Which we'll be here. We'll just go through a lot of these verses today. But you notice that when we come to prophecy, God does not want us to be guessing what all prophecy means. You know, a lot of people, when I come into the message, a lot of people wanted to say, who this little horn power? And they were saying Stalin from there because of his cruel attitude back in the 1918s. And then it came on to Hitler, you know. Then it came on to who was the one that just Idi Amin? Yeah, I forgot about it, Idi. But then Saddam Hussein, then Bin Laden. So we hear all this, but God does not want us to be in doubt. So when we look at the Bible and prophecy, prophecy is God will interpret all these symbols, especially in Daniel and Revelation, by His own word. So we are not left in doubt to guess, because prophecy, as said in 2 Peter 1:21, it says that knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So All this prophecy and all these symbols we'll see here, God will explain it to himself, and he will make it so plain that we can not think of anything else but what these symbols actually mean. Okay, so in Daniel chapter 7 verse 1 we read, in the first year Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, visions of his head upon his bed, and then wrote the dream and told the sum of. Okay, so what we look here is the first year of Belshazzar. As Peter was probably mentioning this morning about chronology, your Bible is not always in a chronological order, because this was the first year of Belshazzar. But we know in chapter 5, we saw the end of Belshazzar. So the reason that God has kept all the historical books together, that the historical books of Daniel are chapter 1, 3, 5, and 6, they are the historical books, but they will turn into prophetic types into the end time as well. But the prophecy books are chapter 2, chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. So God has kept them separately. So the first year of Belshazzar was about the year 553. And so we see there that Daniel had visions and dreams upon his head, and he wrote these down as the sum and the dreams of the matters. So we'll read number 2 in Daniel chapter 2. We see, Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by day, and behold, four winds of the heaven strode upon the great sea. So here we have symbols straight away. We have four winds. So what is a wind? A wind is, war and bloodshed. So I'll read from Jeremiah 25:31-33, if you'd like to turn, but I will read it for you. So, a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath great controversy with the nations, and he will plead with all flesh, and he will give them that are wicked to the sword, says the Lord. Thus the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall raise up from coasts of the earth, and the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. And they shall not lament, neither gather, nor bury, and they shall be dung in the ground. This is talking about the last, when Jesus comes back. But you see, a great whirlwind is gone forth and has slain. And Jeremiah 4:13 says also, behold, he shall come up as clouds, and the chariot shall be as a whirlwind, his horses swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. So you can see, whirlwinds are war and bloodshed that have come upon the earth. And they strove upon a great sea. So, what are the seas and waters in this case? And we know that Revelation 17:15. So God has given us the symbol of what sea is. The symbol of the seas are a symbol of the multitudes, nations, tongues, and people, as Revelation 17:15 says. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, and nations, and tongues. So we see in Daniel here, he had a vision where there's four winds. Four in this case means all the four compasses of the earth, or, right round the earth, the whole part. Four winds, bloodshed and strife, and upon the sea will come out of peoples, nations and tongues. So he's going to see in his vision. And then he said, and we'll read Daniel chapter 7 verse 3. And four great beasts came out from the sea, diverse from one another. So we have another symbol here. What are beasts? Beasts and horns are kingdoms, governments, or they can be kings, kingdoms, or governments, or horns. And we can see this in Daniel 7:17. where it says, "These beasts which there are four kings." So we can see that the beasts are representing kings. Verse 23, thus he says, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom. Okay, we can see beasts are representing kingdoms. And in verse 24, "And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise." So we can see these beasts can represent kings, kingdoms, what was the other one? Governments. Yeah, thank you very much. All right. Okay, so we can see a picture now coming. That Daniel's had a vision that he sees these four beasts coming out of the sea, which is political strife, coming out of bloodshed and political strife, coming out of nations and kingdoms. Okay? So this is what he has there. So in verse 4, we can see, "The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it." Okay, we see the four beasts represents, these world powers. And then we see that these beasts actually come in order. Because, this is the first, then we had in Daniel 7, the four beasts. So God is representing these world kingdoms in order. Just as we see in Daniel chapter 2, we see a parallel that with the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and with the dream of Daniel. So God is going to repeat. So God, in prophecy, God repeats and enlarges. Repeats and enlarges. As we go through the prophecy, it will give you more, repeat the old information and give you a little bit more. Does God repeat? Yes, we just got to look at the book of the Gospels. How many times Matthew, Mark, Luke and John was the resurrection told and a little different? The life of Jesus, a little different. And the Gospels and the miracles, a little different. His death and resurrection. So God does use the form of repetition all the time, because repetition brings to mind the same things over and over again until they hit to our mind. And that's why we're taught at school the same as repetition. So God is repeating the Daniel chapter 2, which is the metal image, and as we see in those metal images, that the chief metal of the head is gold. And this is represented by Babylon. And the chief of beasts, which is represented as a lion, and we also know that it has eagle's wings, which the eagle is the chief of the fowls of the air. So we can see that this first shows that all kingdoms come in succession. And was the lion and had eagle's wings. It was strong and very courageous. It also known as the king of the beasts. But the kingdom does have a winged lion. So what does the wings represent? So another symbol. And we see wings represent swiftness. And we'll see, we'll see in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. "For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans," that is the Babylonians, "that bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses are also swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come far, and they shall fly as the eagle that hasteneth to eat, and they shall come all for violence, and their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand." So we can see the Chaldeans that God is going to send as a judgment upon Israel, that they are very cruel, but they do come and fly as an eagle that is in wants to eat. Because if you see an eagle coming swiftly when it spies something, it comes very quickly. So we see that the winged lion is also an emblem of Babylon. Because it is interesting to note that on the tiles of the Ishtar Gate, we can see this picture here as the lion with wings. And we also see that the king of Babylon had heard the report of them, "Behold, he shall come up as a lion." So the first beast that Daniel saw was a lion. But we also notice that the lion had wings, but was made to stand, was made to stand upon the feet as a man. So we notice when Babylon was at its height, it conquered swiftly and country. But when it walked away from God, you know, because Daniel showed Nebuchadnezzar the true and the living God, and he came to confess that that God was one that shows, sets up kingdoms and takes away kings. And so we see, but once his grandson came to power, he departed from God. So he had a carnal heart. Wickedness came to him, and he became as a man with wicked. They had no courage. And then when it came to him having a feast where he had the common, which is what he drinks out of, with the sacredness, God acted immediately. So he was then, the kingdom was taken away from him. So when he stands up with the feet as a man, he became, there was no power in him at all to resist. And so we come to our next beast that Daniel sees, and that is in verse 5. "And behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, Arise and devour much flesh." So we need the next power to rise, another beast, and it was like a bear raised up on one side. So a bear itself is very vicious and ferocious and bloodthirsty, and we can find this in Isaiah 13:15-19. And this gives a good description of the Median-Persian power. That is Isaiah 13:15-19. "Everyone that is found will be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. Behold, I stir up the Medes against them, and they shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows, they shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb, and their eyes shall not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." So you can see the evilness of the Medes, their crew. And when you read that, you can see this cruelty in the world today. So it's actually the dominion of the Medes lives on. And as we can see, we can see that Darius, was a Mede, and Cyrus was a Persian. They wanted an alliance. And so they came together to go up against Babylon. The Persians were much stronger than the Medes, hence the bear was raised up on one side, and that's the Persians. And the Persians ruling the kingdom for the majority of the time. Well, Darius ruled after they conquered Babylon for a couple of years, and Cyrus ruled from there. We also notice that it had three ribs in its mouth. And these are, because it devours much flesh, these are the nations of Lydia, Egypt, and Babylon. And so we can notice that throughout history, God wants his people to carry the Bible, you know, in one hand carry the Bible and his prophecy, in the other hand we carry history, a history book. And what's our history book for today? The Great Controversy. This gives you the history of from Jesus from 31 AD right down to his second coming. And our history books confirm all what we are talking about today, the kingdoms. And don't forget, these kingdoms were presented to us something like 500 years before Jesus was born, and the 3,500 years when you consider the prophecy of Daniel down to 2,300 days. So they continue all the way down. So God wants us to learn from history. And the Media Persia was a lot bigger than Babylon. It had 127 counties and provinces, and it ruled from 538 down to 331 BC. So let's now turn to Daniel chapter 6. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon its... Daniel chapter 7, verse 6. After this I beheld another like a leopard, which had upon its back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast also four heads, and dominion was given to it. So we see in this power that it was a leopard. And a leopard is very good at catching its prey off guard and also ambushing it. And it does, and it has a reasonable amount of speed, but with four wings, we can assisting it, it gains so much more. So this is representing Greece under Alexander the Great. And he was good at catching his prey off guard with the speed which he moved and when he conquered. Alexander took his army 12 years to conquer the then known world. And that was a distance of something like 8,364 kilometres. So in that time, being a young person, Greece is represented as that leopard that conquered all the way from Greece right through down to India. And you can see the red representing the bronze thighs. You can see the kingdom that Alexander the Great conquered in 12 years. So he had the wings of a fowl, but he met his death blow at the Battle of Arbela. But also, Alexander, we see that it has four heads. And Alexander, when he was dying, he only died at the age of 31, and it was due to, drunken spasm which he had. And so, but the generals asked him, who shall the kingdom given to? And he said, to the strongest. And so from that point of time, there was about 20 generals there, and they all competed from about 331 right down to about 310. These generals fought. They first killed off all Alexander's posterities, children and everything like that. They fought themselves. And in the end, there was four generals that won out. And these were, Cassandra. Cassandra had all the western portion of the Western Roman Empire, Macedonian Greece. This is where we see all this exodus coming from Syria and Libya today, going into that area. And that's the part that Cassandra. And Lysimachus took the northern part, Thrace, and a large part of Asia Minor, where the seven churches, he took that part. Ptolemy took Egypt and the southern part of Syria, and Seleucus took the northern part of Syria, all the way where the Persian kingdom was to the east, right up to Babylon and Media Persia. So the kingdom was then divided into four. But when we get to Daniel chapter 11, we see those kingdoms come down to two kingdoms, the king of the north and the king of the south. So that's what Daniel saw. So we can see the vision that Daniel had. He was given him vision. He saw when Babylon fell in 539. Then he saw Media Persia fall in 331. And he saw Greece fall in 168 BC. Okay? And this brings us down to the verse 7. And Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and he devoured and brake into pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts, and there before it, and it had 10 horns. So Daniel could describe the type of beasts that were coming. You know, don't forget, in Nebuchadnezzar they had images from great worth down to a lot lesser worth, inferior worth, and now we have beasts, you know, from down to more cruel beasts. But Daniel had a description. He couldn't put a beast to this fourth kingdom. And it's usually known as the nondescript beast, as you'll hear, or some people say a dragon. But it's usually a nondescript beast. And we know that it was exceedingly strong. It had iron teeth and it break into pieces. And so it would devour, as we see in verse 23. If you just look over to 23, what this fourth kingdom did, that's Daniel 7, verse 23. Thus says the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, and it shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread down and break into pieces. So this beast's power, and if we follow this down, we know it's the Roman power, devoured that whole beast, devoured the whole earth. But it also stamped the residue with its feet. In other words, when it couldn't conquer and ravage anyone, it put it into people into slavery unto itself. So we can see this beast. But it's also said in there that it was diverse from the others. So how was the Roman Empire diverse from those other three kingdoms, Babylon, Media, Persia, and Greece? Well, we see Babylon, Media, and Persia, and Greece were a monarch. In other words, they had a king that ruled them over there, whether it's dictator. Whereas the Roman was like a republic. It had elected officials. All these Caesars were elected. So it was different from. So God has given us another symbol, make a little bit more understanding about this fourth beast. So God, out of this fourth beast, is going to come a little horn. And this is what God wants us to identify. Throughout Daniel, he wants us to know that that the kingdoms are coming in their order. But out of that, there's the identification of this little horn power. Out of this, there's the judgment. And out of this, the second coming. This is all through Daniel and Revelation. This is what God wants us to know. So you can see that the difference between Rome and the other kingdoms was one was a monarch and one was a republic. And so, and we see, you can see it compassed then the whole known earth. And Paul himself says the gospel was preached to that known world at that time. And that's the area where the gospel was preached at that time. And it went down to 476 AD. So we see we have that out of this came 10 horns. Okay? This is the divided kingdom of Rome. And so this is the Western Roman Empire. So as we see, you see in the chest of silver, there is two arms, Media, Persia. And we see in the legs of iron, there's two legs representing the East and the Western Roman Empire. So we can see that Rome was divided. You know, so I've forgotten the name of the emperor. I think the last emperor there was Romulus Augustus. He moved his power point from the city of Rome over to Constantinople, and that then became the Eastern Roman Empire. And we find that a lot of things that were spoken about the Muslims and that came from that area. But the Western Roman Empire was divided. And we see that it was divided into 10 kingdoms. And so when they had moved the army and that to the eastern side, that left Rome itself, and down came the Gothic tribes. And these tribes came, as we can see, Anglo-Saxons. They are the English. The Franks, they are the French. Alemanni, the Germans. Lombards, the Italians. We'll talk about Ostrogoths and Huruli and the Vandals. The Burgundians were the Swiss. Visigoths were the Spanish, and Suevi was the Portuguese. So they're the 10 kings, and there are basically still the 10 divisions of the European Union today. But we'll talk about this a little later on in this lesson. Whoops. And so in verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, and the garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool, and the throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. Okay? So Daniel was looking at these four beasts. Yeah, these four beasts. And coming down, so we see a lion, a bear, a leopard, and this fourth beast. And this fourth beast had 10 horns. And out of this came a little horn. Then he beheld, while he's watching, he beheld the thrones were cast down. In other words, that in the King James Version was not cast down as we know, but they were set up. So the thrones will be set up around the Ancient of Days. And the Ancient of Days is God the Father. And he did sit. And they give it, then it gives a description of the Father. His garment is white as snow. His hair is pure wool. And his throne was like the fiery flames, and fiery flame and wheels as a burning fire. So his throne actually does move. And it's very important to know that, because when Jesus ascended to heaven, the Father was in the holy place. Then later on, the Father moved to the most holy place. So we can see that his throne does move. And it gives another description. A fiery stream issued and came forth from him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were open. So we can see how Daniel is viewing this. He sees the four beasts. Then he sees the Rome divided. Then there's a little horn. Then there is a judgment. And so we can see the sequence that it was open. So what time is the vision? So when Daniel was looking at Rome, it was looking at 476 AD. And then when he came to the judgment set, we can actually say from later on, we will show you through the longest time prophecy in the Bible, that this period where the judgment was set was October 22, 1844. So Daniel's vision goes down to this. And then because in verse 11, I beheld then, because the voice of great words which the horn spoke, and beheld even till the beast was slain and was destroyed and given to the burning of the fire. So Daniel beheld this little horn power till it was destroyed. Okay? And then concerning the rest of these beasts, they had their dominion taken away, and yet their lives were prolonged for a season. I think we discussed this in Daniel chapter 2. Okay, the beasts of Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome, they had their dominion taken away, but their lives lived on. In other words, their culture, their philosophy, their idols, and that lived on in this little horn power. Until we see, and we know in Daniel chapter 2, until where we're divided into the toes, where we have clay and iron. This is the division of the 10 kingdoms, and which is the combining of church and state. And this will happen right down until that rock comes and hits the feet of the image and breaks all these images. So that rock that comes down is Christ's second coming, because rock was made without hands, and was came to destroy. And we can see in verse 12. And we can see that these lives of these beasts were prolonged for a season and time. In verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, come in the clouds of heaven, and come to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Verse 14, and there was given unto him dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him, and his dominion is everlasting, which shall not pass away, and the kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So we can see the final parts of Daniel's vision. Daniel chapter 7 is broken up into two parts. 1 to 14 is the vision. 15 to 28 is the interpretation. And we find a lot of people who want to try to interpret the interpretation of Bible prophecy today. Always be careful. God has always given the interpretation. We should not try to reinterpretate the interpretation. But it's very interesting to see that we see this order of events, you know, from the little horn power. Then we see the judgment. Then we see the final judgment of the of this little horn power. And then we see Christ coming. And then we see this kingdom given to the saints. So we see this order coming again. But what do we notice? That what was this event that happened, especially in verse 14? And there, that was the Son of Man, was given to the Son of Man dominion, glory, and the kingdom. So, what was this event that Daniel had saw? In early writings, it says, in early writings, page 55, wait here. You know, if you go back to the passage before, it was Jesus speaking. Wait here, I'm going to my Father to receive the kingdom. Keep your garments spotless, and a little while I'll return from the wedding, right, and receive you to myself. Then a cloudy chariot and wheels like flaming fire surrounded the angels and came to where Jesus was. And he stepped into the chariot and was borne into the holiest. So in other words, what we see, Jesus says, tell his disciples, wait here. He is going to then be borne by the angels, which is his chariot, and then taken from the holiest place to the most holiest. At this time, the Father has moved. And because we know this is true when we study sanctuary, for those who have not clear on this issue, come and see us. We can study the sanctuary where you can see where the time of judgment does start from the time of intercession through to the Day of Atonement. And so this is where Jesus has gone. He stepped in the chariot and was born into the holiest where the Father sat. There I beheld Jesus as a great high priest standing before the Father. On his hem he had a garment, a belt, a pomegranate, and a belt, and a pomegranate. But this scene is also reviewed in Great Controversy, page 427. Christ, stated by the prophet Daniel, will receive from the Ancient of Days in heaven dominion, glory, and kingdom. He will receive the new Jerusalem, the capital of his kingdom. So Jesus is receiving from the Father his kingdom. He had been made king. Now he's received his kingdom. And later on, because a kingdom needs a subject, later on when he comes back, he will take his redeemed and they will be the subjects of this kingdom. And it says, he will receive the kingdom, capital of his kingdom, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Having received his kingdom, he will come in glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords for the redemption of his people, who sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the table in his kingdom to partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb. So you can see the whole in Daniel chapter 7, in verse 14. We see Jesus coming to the Father. This is in heaven. Then he came, received his kingdom, and then he's coming back to receive his own, and those of his own will then have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay? So this is what we see in this verse. And so we can see the whole scenario of from Babylon right down through the time that the redeemed will receive the kingdom. Then it goes in verse 15. Then Daniel was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. So Daniel was grieved. In verse 16, and I came unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. Okay? So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. So an angel then comes and tells Daniel what is the truth. Then he recites very quickly what the vision was about. And what did he say? These great beasts which are four are the four kings, and they shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom for ever and ever. So that's what all the angels said. These are the four beasts that come out, and then the saints will receive the kingdom. So he just went from beginning to the end. So, but Daniel wanted to know, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which is diverse from the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, and devoured, breaking to pieces, and stamped the residue of his feet, and of the ten horns that were in his head. And of the other that came up, and before whom three fell, even the horn that had eyes and the mouth and spake very great things, and these things whose look was more stout than the others. Okay, so Daniel wanted to know. He understood the four beasts, and now he wants to really identify this little horn power. And so we see in Daniel chapter 7 and 8, he said, he considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And in this horn, and were the eyes of, like the eyes of a man, and the mouth speaking great things. So, who does this little horn represent? So what we're going to do now is try to identify some identifying marks of this little horn. And we'll see that it rose out of the fourth beast, as we see in Daniel 7 and 7 and 8. We can see that out of the fourth beast, this little rose the ten horns, and out of that, the little horn power. So we know for the first identifying mark that it came out of the fourth beast, which is the Roman Empire. And so we can see the next identifying mark we'll see is in Daniel chapter 8. It came out after the ten horns. Okay, so Rome was divided in 476 AD. You know, it was conquered, the Western Roman Empire. So the little horn came out of the ten horns, so it must have come out after 476 AD. And this gives us an identification in the Western Europe. It can't be Asia, can't be India, can't be America, but it has to be in this area. So the third identifying mark is it came after the ten horns, which I've just explained in Daniel 7:24. It says, and the ten horns, out of this kingdom are ten kings shall arise, and another rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue four kings. So he rose after the 476 AD. And the fourth identifying mark, it uprooted three kingdoms. Okay? So we see in Daniel chapter 8, it says there at the, whom were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. In other words, when something's plucked up by the roots, we see it exists no more. And in Daniel chapter 20, verse 20. And before whom three fell. And in verse 24, we see the ten horns where he subdued three kings. And so he removed three nations, and they were the Hurali, the Vandals, and the Ostrogoths. So we go back to the ten kingdoms that were divided, and we see those three that disappeared were the Ostrogoths. You know, the Ostrogoths were the last to go. They were in 538. Hurali was the first to go in 496, and the Vandals in 534. All this in AD. Okay? So then, and that allowed, because they didn't agree what the Roman power was saying at that time, and so they had to get rid of, and once that got rid of, Rome then had church and state united, and that had a power. So we're only trying to identify this little horn, but I shouldn't be saying what I am. So it was different from the other horns. How was it different? It was both a political and religious power. When studying Daniel, when we talk about, you know, we probably, most of us here know who the identity of it is. But when we talk about this power, we only think of it as an ecclesiastic power. No, when you look at Revelation 17, it has the woman and the beast that wrote it. So they're both joined together, a religious as well as a political power. One can't live without the other. Okay? So when we decide this, when we talk about identifying this power, it's both a religious and political power. And so always remember that when we're talking and sharing with people, that is both a political power as well as a religious. But the sixth identifying mark, here's the features of a man, as we see. We'll see that as a leader. We'll just probably go through that the next one there, where you can see that he has the eyes of a man and the mouth speaking great things. But has the features of man, so this power has man as its leader. And to a lot of people, it's hard to identify. Seventh identifying mark of this little horn power is that it looked more stout than the others. In other words, it was more arrogant than the others, and we can see how it was arrogant than the other ten horn power. It speaks great words against the Most High. So we look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. This talks about these religious side of aspect of it. And he spoke great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, thinking to change times and law, and that was given unto him until a times and times and a dividing of time. So he spoke great words against the God of heaven. And we talk, as we look at, blasphemy. You know, this power spoke blasphemy against God. In Revelation 13, when we see, try to identify this little pawn power, and you'll see it's the same power in Revelation. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. So what is blasphemies? Let's look at John chapter 10, verse 30. John chapter 10, verse 30-33. And we probably all know what we're going to talk about. So in John chapter 10, verse 30-33, it reads, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man makest thyself God. So this power, being only a man, because as a man as a leader, was blasphemed because this power was making itself God. And so one making oneself equal to God. And we see in Mark chapter 2, verse 5-7. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? So this power was not only thinking himself equal and above God, but it was also being able to forgive sins. So that's the identifying mark of blasphemy. And the ninth identifying mark, he thinks to change the times and the law. So this power has changed the times and the law, and it changed not only the laws of prophecies, but it's also the times of prophecy, but the law of God. It would seek to change. But who can change the law of God? but it rises himself above God. Tenth identifying mark of the little horn power. Wore out the saints of the Most High, which we read in verse 21. And so it would persecute God's people. And the 11th, reign for a time, times and dividing of time. So what is actually this actually meaning? So what it actually is, it would reign for 1260 years. So but what is a time? Or what is time? So let's compare Revelation chapter 12 verse 6. It's Revelation 12 verse 6, and then we'll read Revelation 12 verse 14. So this gives us idea of what that time may be. But we're looking at another symbol here that says the woman fleeing into the wilderness. That's Revelation 12 verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that would feed her for 1,260 days. And we see a similar symbol in Revelation 12:14. It was talking about a woman still, and it was also going into the wilderness. So it's reasonable, it's not always safe, but it's reasonable to expect this is the same symbol. And Revelation 12:14, and the woman were given up two wings of a great eagle, and she might fly into the wilderness into her place, and was nourished for a time, times, and a half of time. So we can see that symbol, time, times, and a half of time, is equal to 1260 days. And we'll find that's equal to 1260 days. But the next question is, how long is a day? And we know in Ezekiel 4, chapter 6, one day equals 1 year. So Ezekiel 4, 6, it says, and when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee a day for a year. But God always gives two witnesses. So he'll have another witness, and that is in Numbers 14:34. And it says, after the number of days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, and each day for a year, and ye shall bear the iniquities. Every 40 years ye shall know my breach of promise. So God has given prophetic time as 1 day for a year. And most scholars all agree that the prophetic time is a day for a year, as is in Ezekiel and in Numbers. The last identifying mark is not in the book of Daniel, but it is when we talk about the next one, and that is that it receives this deadly wound, this little horn power in Revelation 13:3. And this deadly wound will be healed. So what do we learn over this vision? It arose out of Rome. It came out of Europe. So it can't come anywhere out of any part of the world. So this little horn power has to arise out of there, out of Europe, and it has to arise after 476 AD. And this same power uprooted three kingdoms. As we go along, some people may want to put this power did this and this power did that. No, this power has to have all those 12 identifying marks. If it only has 7, 8, 10 or 11, it is not the power that is identified in the Bible. It has to have all 12 identifying marks. It has to be a religious and political power. It has to have a man as its leader. It has to be more powerful than all the other horns. And that's those beasts of the 10 kingdom, divided kingdoms. Speak great words against the Most High. Would change God's law. Would persecute God's people. Would reign for that 1260 years. Then when you look at number 6, how can a man reign for 1260 years? Okay, so that's that one, because none of all the other kingdoms had not been that long in existence. So this one here is it's a good identifying mark, and it receives that deadly wound. So in conclusion, That's a bit earlier on that one. In conclusion, what is God trying to reveal? He's trying to reveal judgment. In Daniel 7, the final judgment is mentioned three times, in verse 10, 22, and 26. God's eternal kingdom is mentioned four times, in verses 14, 18, 22, and 27. So it is evident that while Satan has waged a long warfare against God's commandments, God has the final word. So, in prophecy, on which side will you stand in the conflict, or truth, or an error? So we, as Joshua says, we are on the Lord's side. So it's a very important thing to talk about, to understand prophecy, because as we spoke in the beginning, it's a life and death issue, because in the middle is judgment. And a lot of people do not understand the judgment that God has given today. So this will help. And so in our next time we get together, is that you would put all those 12 identifying marks, and we'll help to identify who this little pawn power. Now we'll identify who the beast is, the healing of the deadly wound, and its rise to the Antichrist power. Dear Father of Heaven, we're so ever grateful that we can kneel before thy eternal throne. And we're so grateful that we have thy word of prophecy, and we know that the word and interpretation is sure, Lord. So we thank you so much that that hope that builds into our heart. But we know it's a word of judgment, and it's a word, and it's our present truth, because we know the three angels' message is our your final warning to this world in love, and you've asked us to take this forward. So Father, I pray that the things that we oppress, Daniel didn't understand them, but you have made it known through this time. All the things in the light of the book of Daniel and Revelation that has been known to us as your people, help us to have that burden for souls to go and share this final message, so they too can be one for to thy kingdom, and that we could all come down to that marriage supper of the Lamb, and we can sup with thee. So Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And as we learned in the lessons this morning, Lord, your Holy Spirit is a very important part of our salvation. And we pray that it will fall upon us in a large measure. The early rain, Lord, is to convert our hearts. But if our hearts are not converted, help us to come unto thee and bring our hearts that we fully surrender, that we can become children of the living God, and have that service. And we also pray, Lord, for the Holy Spirit be poured out in the latter rain power, that if you called us to give this power, to give this message, that loud cry message of the angel of Revelation 18, and through that power that we could enlighten the whole world. So I pray for that rain to be fall upon us here as well, Lord, so that Hamilton may be enlightened about the truth. So in those last days, we won't be accused. You knew about this, but you didn't tell us. So help us to come be united again in Jesus Christ, Father. So each and every one will have a work to do, and each one will be united to spread this word, just as the gospel, the disciples were united together at the day of Pentecost. So thank you for hearing this prayer, Lord, and thank you for blessing every heart, and thank you for your pouring of your Holy Spirit in these last days. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.